content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Vision News. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various websites, and there's a lot of stuff that came out this new year. What's new in JAWS 2026 screen reading software? As promised last week, from support.freedomscientific.com. This page describes the new features and improvements available in JAWS 2026. There's a hot link to download JAWS and a hot link for the latest JAWS enhancements for a complete list of enhancements made in this release, including the most recent update. Read previous JAWS release notes by selecting a version from the drop-down list. And the JAWS 2026 features, Vispero accounts, a new way to connect your products. Beginning with the 2026 release, signing in with a Vispero account is now required to use JAWS, ZoomText, and Fusion in the United States. This change brings all your Vispero accounts together under one secure, unified account, making it easier to stay connected, access new features, and enjoy a more seamless experience across devices. Bullet points: stay informed. Receive announcements about product updates and other relevant information using verified email addresses. Marketing communication is optional, and users can choose to opt out at any time. Future innovation. Secure sign-in enables us to introduce new AI features and other unique services as they become available. Simplified experience. Use one account across multiple devices, paving the way for future enhancements like the ability to conveniently synchronize your preferences and settings when signing into an account after installing your Vispero software on a new PC. Privacy and compliance. As we work toward supporting user accounts in additional countries over the next several months, account creation aligns with global data protection standards and ensures responsible access for educational users. Getting started. Before updating to version 2026, you can go directly to portal.vispero.com, that's spelled V-I-S-P-E-R-O, and choose the option to create an account. If you already have a portal account, for instance, from a home annual license, you will be able to use this as well. Once JAWS, ZoomText, or Fusion 2026 starts for the first time following installation, you are immediately prompted to sign in or create an account. At this point, you have 1 hour to complete this process with the option to add an additional hour if needed. During this time, your software will be fully functional. After you have signed into an account, if you have installed a brand new copy of the software, you will receive the prompt to activate your license. Once signed in, you will not be prompted to sign in again, even if you completely close and restart the software, unless you sign out of your account. You can sign in or out, as well as access other account management options, through the License and Account submenu located in the JAWS, ZoomText, or Fusion Help menu. You can also review account details on the Account tab of the About dialog box. Page Explorer for quickly summarizing web pages using AI. Your JAWS Companion, FS Companion, is now more powerful than ever with the addition of Page Explorer, an integrated AI feature that gives you an instant overview of any web page and how to navigate it best. Once a page finishes loading, press Insert plus Shift plus capital E, Caps Lock plus Shift plus E, in Laptop Layout. And JAWS briefly summarizes the page's layout, describes its main content, lists any important links, and provides any helpful tips for efficient navigation, including keystrokes. Key benefits of Page Explorer include faster orientation to complex pages by helping you quickly understand what a page contains without having to navigate element by element. Receive navigation tips tailored to the current page to help you locate the information you need sooner. For example, on a page containing several regions along with a couple of tables, this could include a summary of the content of each region and table, along with the keystrokes to move between regions, along with commands for moving to and interacting with the table data. Identify important links on a page you may need to know about so you don't have to browse through the entire page to locate them. Links activated from Page Explorer window will open in your default web browser. Ask follow-up questions about the current page right inside Page Explorer to get more details about specific elements or content. For example, if you are on a page containing a lengthy article, you might ask Page Explorer to briefly summarize the article, highlighting the key takeaways, or present the entire article but without surrounding content, such as advertisements or anything else not directly related to the main text that might interrupt the reading flow. Similar to Picture Smart AI and FS Companion, Page Explorer opens in the JAWS Results Viewer so you can read the summary review tips or continue the conversation seamlessly. FS Companion's training features and its new Page Explorer tool are available in English, Spanish, German, Dutch, French, and Italian. While we're still working on a fully multilingual version of FS Companion that includes all advanced training guidance, Page Explorer is already functional in all offered languages. This means you can enjoy the Page Explorer no matter which language you use. Page Explorer availability. Page Explorer availability varies based on your JAWS license. Here's what's included with each license type. This is what was important last week. Home annual, not available. Home, up to 20 requests per week. Professional, unlimited requests. AI labeler now enabled by default. Frequently, you may encounter application screens or web pages containing inaccessible elements without proper labels, limiting usability for screen reader users. The AI labeler helps to reduce these limitations by capturing a screenshot of the currently focused element in a web page or web-based app, submitting it to an AI model for analyzing, and attempting to speak a more meaningful label. Initially available as an early adopter program feature in JAWS 2025, the AI labeler is now enabled by default in JAWS 2026. When an inaccessible element has focus, press Insert plus G. JAWS speaks a suggested graphics label. Currently, JAWS speaks the suggested label type and, if available, the state of the element. AI-generated labels are also saved automatically, so the new label is announced each time the specific element is encountered. If you press Insert plus G on a web page element that already contains a custom label, JAWS displays a dialog containing both the current label and a suggested replacement. You can then choose whether or not to replace the current label with the new one. In situations where you still need to use the legacy graphics labeler, press Alt plus Insert plus G. Note, if the company policies prevent the use of online or AI services, this feature will not be available. New modern script compiler for compiling scripts. The modern script compiler is now the standard for JAWS scripts, paving the way for future improvements to the scripting language. Originally available as an early adopter program feature in JAWS 2025, the new compiler is now the default in JAWS 2026. While its primary new feature right now is the ability to write clear logical expressions for accessing nested collections, it also sets the foundation for upcoming enhancements. For instance, you can now use code like, and there's a table with examples of code. This lets you use box and dot to more intuitively access members within collections of collections. With every script adopting this compiler in JAWS 2026, expect more features and flexibility ahead. New Java application support. With JAWS 2026, improved Java Swing support is now the standard experience for users. Java applications using Swing components function just like traditional Windows programs, offering seamless PC cursor navigation and familiar control types. This default enhancement simplifies scripting, allowing JAWS scripts to be directly connected to Java applications by name. For those who may need compatibility with the older Java Access Bridge method, JAWS 2026 includes a setting in Settings Center under Miscellaneous with the default application settings. By unchecking Improved Java Swing Support and restarting JAWS, users can revert to legacy support as required. Enhanced HID Braille support. In JAWS 2025, we introduced initial support for the HID, Human Interface Device, Braille protocol. products using HID technology are automatically recognized by Windows, enabling plug-and-play functionality for output and input, similar to connecting and immediately being able to use the standard keyboard. However, in order to use a HID-compatible display with JAWS, you had to manually select the HID Braille display driver in the synthesizer and Braille manager. JAWS 2026 introduces major improvements to our HID Braille driver, offering a true plug-and-play experience. Any HID-enabled Braille display is now automatically detected with no additional setup needed. We've also expanded our default Braille commands to now work with any Braille display connected using HID Braille. Many of these commands can be found in our Braille commands webpage hot link. For displays that have both HID and legacy serial protocols enabled simultaneously, JAWS will continue to use the legacy driver for best performance, while displays exclusively set to HID are fully supported out of the box. ARIA and web. JAWS now offers the ability to move directly to math elements on web pages. To use this feature, you can assign a keystroke using the Navigation Quick Key Manager accessed through the Run JAWS Manager dialog, Insert plus F2. In Google Chrome, improve JAWS performance when navigating between cells and very large tables. JAWS now speaks regions with names by default. Pressing the Applications key on a link now reliably opens the correct context menu. When navigating tables, JAWS now correctly indicates headers as well as column and row information, even if the table includes span elements. JAWS now properly reads progress bars that use the ARIA progress bar role. If focused on a table cell in the header row that spans multiple columns, pressing Alt plus Control plus End to move to the last cell in the table now works as expected. In Google Chrome, when focused on a combo box and Escape is pressed to exit Forms mode, focus is no longer unexpectedly moved to the address bar or Chrome menu. Moving to the correct location on a web page after pressing Enter on a same page link is now much more reliable. Pressing Enter on same page links also now works as expected, even if Forms mode is set to manual. JAWS now reads ARIA labels for SVG elements even if they do not include role equals IMG attribute. Improved JAWS reading tables containing blank columns. LibreOffice. JAWS now indicates misspelled words in LibreOffice Writer. JAWS now reads using speech and Braille in the LibreOffice Writer spellcheck dialog that is displayed when pressing F7. JAWS now indicates when text is in a LibreOffice document contains a heading style. JAWS no longer causes LibreOffice Calc to close unexpectedly when inserting a sheet or launching certain versions of the application. When using Control plus Page Up or Page Down to move between sheets in a workbook in LibreOffice Calc, JAWS now reads the sheet title. There is much, much more, but I'm moving on with the show. From the WarrenRecord.com, Warren County Memorial Library improves accessibility with automatic doors through LTC grant. Warren County Memorial Library has completed the installation of automatic push-button handicap accessible doors as part of its library's Transforming Communities Accessible Small and Rural Communities project. Funded through a competitive grant from the American Library Association, this project advances the library's commitment to creating a more inclusive and welcoming environment for all community members, particularly individuals with mobility impairments. The project focused on removing physical barriers that made it difficult for patrons using wheelchairs, walkers, or other mobility aids, strollers, to independently enter and exit the library. By installing automatic doors at the library's main entrance, the library has significantly improved ease of access, safety, and independence for visitors with mobility challenges. The installation took place at Warren County Memorial Library in Warrenton, serving residents across Warren County. The project was completed in 2025 following community input and coordination with county partners. This project ensures that our library is truly accessible to everyone, said Library Director Tanika Alston. Automatic doors may seem like a small change, but for patrons with mobility issues, they remove a daily obstacle and reinforce that the library is a place where everyone belongs. The LTC Accessible Small and Rural Communities Initiative supports the libraries serving populations of 25,000 or less in identifying accessibility needs and implementing solutions guided by community voices. Warren County Memorial Library's project aligns with the program's goal of improving equitable access to library facilities, services, and programs. The library will continue to explore additional opportunities to enhance accessibility and better serve patrons of all abilities. From the National Law Review at natlawreview.com. When night falls, ADA still applies. Sixth Circuit recognizes night blindness as a disability. Article by Heather G. Sasnick, that's P-T-A-S-Z-N-I-K. On November 7, 2025, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Sixth Circuit ruled that in some cases, night blindness may be considered a disability under the Americans with Disabilities Act, ADA. In Edwards v. Shelby County, Tennessee, the court upheld a jury verdict finding that the employer discriminated against an employee because of her night blindness and retaliated against her after she requested an accommodation. The court also upheld a separate finding that the employer failed to accommodate her asthma. Quick hits. In Edwards v. Shelby County, Tennessee, the Sixth Circuit recently held that an employee's night blindness may qualify as a disability under the ADA requiring a reasonable accommodation. Night blindness is not automatically a disability, but may constitute one depending on the individual's functional limitations, consistent with the ADA's fact-specific inquiry. This decision reinforces the ADA's broad protection after the ADA Amendments Act, ADAAA. Background on the case. The employee began working as an environmentalist inspector for Shelby County, Tennessee in 2020, and was later assigned to a position that required some nighttime driving, which involved delivering groceries to a hotel. Over time, her night vision deteriorated. She testified that bright lights created halos that made it difficult to see barricades, lane markers, and road signs, and she experienced impaired depth perception when driving in the dark. Although she had previously noticed problems with night vision, she did not disclose these issues in her pre-employment questionnaire or during her pre-employment medical examination, which occurred during daylight hours and did not reveal her night blindness. On October 4, 2021, the employee's supervisor reassigned her to a new shift from 3 p.m. to 11 p.m., which required her to work and drive home at night. The employee objected, explaining that she had night blindness and raising additional personal safety concerns about working alone at the hotel at night. She offered to provide medical documentation and contacted her doctors, but she was unable to obtain a note, and her supervisor never followed up on that request. The county ultimately authorized a change to a 10:30 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. shift, but the supervisor did not notify the employee of the new schedule until after the start time of the revised shift. Before the employee even began her first scheduled night shift, her supervisor documented complaints about the employee's alleged tardiness, reluctance to work at the hotel, and failure to follow directives. Within days, the county moved forward with discipline and discharged the employee shortly thereafter, citing attendance problems, insubordination, and alleged falsification of information. The employee filed suit, alleging that the county failed to accommodate her asthma, discriminated her against her based on her night blindness, and retaliated against her for requesting an accommodation. After a two-day trial, the jury found in her favor on all three claims, concluding that both her asthma and her night blindness qualified as disabilities under the ADA. On appeal with respect to the night blindness claim, the county argued that the jury erred in finding the employee disabled because night blindness is not a recognized disability under the ADA. Night driving is not a major life activity, and the employee's ability to occasionally drive at night demonstrated that she was not substantially limited in any major life activity. The county also contended that the employee's request for an accommodation was not made in good faith, asserting that her real concern was crime at the hotel rather than her ability to safely drive at night. Sixth Circuit ruling. The Sixth Circuit rejected the county's arguments and affirmed the jury's decision, emphasizing the ADA's broad individualized approach to determining whether a condition constitutes a disability. The court explained that although the Sixth Circuit had not previously ruled on whether night blindness could qualify as an ADA disability, The ADAAA significantly expanded the scope of coverage and lowered the threshold for establishing a substantial limitation. The court clarified that the relevant inquiry was not whether night driving itself is a major life activity, but whether the employee's condition substantially limited the major life activity of seeing, which is expressly protected under the ADA. The court further noted that the ADA does not require a person to be completely unable to perform an activity to be substantially limited. Individuals who can perform an activity only with difficulty, pain, or risk may still meet the definition. The employee's testimony regarding glare, halos from headlights, difficulty reading signs, impaired depth perception, and lingering post-exposure visual strain provided sufficient evidence for the jury to conclude that her night blindness substantially limited her ability to see. The court also rejected the county's argument that the employee's accommodation request was not made in good faith. Although the employee expressed safety concerns about working alone at night, she also specifically raised to the county her night blindness and explained its impact on her ability to drive. Because credibility determinations belong to the jury, the Sixth Circuit declined to disturb the jury's verdict. Next steps. The Sixth Circuit's ruling highlights several important considerations for employers. Difficulty seeing at night or driving in low-light conditions may be treated as a legitimate concern and therefore worth exploring through the interactive process. Employers may want to evaluate disability-related issues on a case-by-case basis since they are often nuanced and fact-specific. Employees with a disability may still occasionally perform a task, but if they do so with greater difficulty, risk, or stress, this may still implicate the ADA. Consider providing training for frontline managers regarding how to respond when employees raise disability-related issues and escalate concerns appropriately to remain compliant with the ADA. Be mindful of the timing and reaction to accommodation requests. Adverse actions taken shortly after an employee raises a disability concern may be scrutinized more heavily. From the ArkansasAdvocate.com, disability rights lawyers threatened with budget cuts, reassignments. Article by Tony Lees, L-E-Y-S, KFF Health News. The Trump administration is trying to slash access to lawyers who defend the rights of Americans with disabilities, advocates say. Most of the lawyers work either for the Department of Justice, for disability rights agencies that Congress set up in every state decades ago. Many of the Justice Department lawyers quit in 2025 after being reassigned to other duties, their supporters say. And Trump budget officials proposed deep cuts to federal grants supporting the state-based legal groups. People with disabilities have the right to live in their communities if possible. Federal laws and court decisions say they may attend school, work jobs, and go to restaurants, movie theaters, and other public places. If they can find lawyers, they can file legal challenges when those rights are denied. The federally funded attorneys quietly work to ensure the U.S. lives up to promises made by the Americans with Disabilities Act and other laws, said Allison Barkoff, a health law professor at George Washington University. I think many families of people with disabilities, or even many people with disabilities themselves, don't hear about it until they Google, "Where can I get help?" said Barkoff, who helped lead such efforts under Presidents Joe Biden and Barack Obama. The attorney's goals include ensuring that people with disabilities have the services they need to live in their own homes instead of having to move into nursing homes or other types of institutions, Barkoff said. These are people who, if these supports are ripped away, are going to have to leave their communities and their families at a higher cost for taxpayers, she said. The state-based disability rights groups are known as protection and advocacy organizations. Most of them are nonprofit groups. Congress approved the federally financed system in the 1970s after TV journalist Geraldo Rivera exposed abuses in a New York institution for people with mental and intellectual disabilities, revelations that ignited a national outcry. President Donald Trump proposed cutting the system's federal funding from $148 million to $69 million for fiscal year 2026, according to the National Disability Rights Network, which represents the state-based groups. Appropriations committees in the U.S. House and Senate have recommended Congress maintain funding at the previous level, but advocates for the agencies worry that even if Congress maintains current support, The administration will try again to slash their support in future years. It definitely would put people in our communities in harm's way, said Marlene Sallo, S-A-L-L-O, the National Network's executive director. White House officials declined to comment on why the Trump administration proposed the deep cuts. Isaac Schreier's family can attest to the value of the state-based legal groups. His name is spelled S-C-H-R-E-I-E-R. Isaac, 7, lives in Ankeny, Iowa. He has a rare condition called osteogenesis imperfecta, also known as brittle bone disease. The condition has caused about 60 bone fractures, including his limbs, spine, and skull. It can cause intense pain and leave him unable to walk. At times, Isaac's disability is practically invisible, said his father, Jake Schreier. Unless he has recently suffered a broken leg bone, he walks well. But he tires much more quickly than you or I would. Isaac's doctor said he needed a special wheelchair that could be adjusted to put him in different positions, depending on which bones were broken. But the private insurer that manages his Medicaid coverage declined to pay for that $3,500 wheelchair. They required proof that it was a permanent and long-standing condition, Jake Schreier said. We were very frustrated. Schreier appealed the denial, but lost. A nurse at a specialty clinic then recommended that he reach out to Disability Rights Iowa, a federally funded protection and advocacy group that had helped other families in similar straits. The group linked Schreier with two of its attorneys who filed a new appeal. The lawyers wrote a detailed letter explaining why Isaac was legally entitled to the new wheelchair, and they cited specific Iowa codes and court precedents. The insurer wound up paying for Isaac's special wheelchair. The chair allows Isaac to participate in school and community activities even when he has broken bones. It's absolutely night and day. I can't imagine a world where we didn't have it, his father said. Isaac may again need people like the disability rights lawyers to fight for him, so he won't be shunted away from society, Schreier said. We're really trying to keep as many doors open as possible for him. In 2021, the Justice Department warned Iowa officials that their lack of support for community services meant too many people with intellectual disabilities had to live in facilities. State officials vowed to do better. Since Trump returned to the office, many of the Justice Department's most experienced disability rights lawyers have taken buyouts or been reassigned to other areas, said Jennifer Mathis, a former top administrator at the Justice Department under Biden. There's really skeleton staffing at this point, said Mathis, now deputy director of the Bazelon Center, which advocates for rights of people with mental disabilities. That's B-A-Z-E-L-O-N. The overall Civil Rights Division is down to about 300 people, fewer than half the number it had under Biden, Mathis said. The Civil Rights Division's new director, Harmeet Dhillon, D-H-I-L-L-O-N, told conservative commentator Glenn Beck in April that more than 100 attorneys had left the division, but that they didn't support Trump's priorities. The job here is to enforce the federal civil rights laws, not woke ideology, she told Beck. In a statement to KFF Health News, Dhillon said the division continues to be a vocal and active advocate for Americans with disabilities. I've run out of time for this week's Vision News. You can finish the article at ArkansasAdvocate.com. I hope you enjoyed listening. Please join us next week. I'm Doris Hyde reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Vision News is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service, and happy 2026 to all of you.